Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm glad you chose to be with us today. If you're joining us in church or online, I just want to echo what Corey said. Thank you so much for everyone that's already participated in this campaign, this Reach campaign. It is truly our desire to find effective ways and new ways and innovative ways to be able to reach our community for Christ. One of the things I mentioned to you last week was that we're going to amp up and turn up in the mix evangelism in our church. We really want to do a better job reaching out as a church evangelistically, and we want our church family to strengthen and improve upon how we are individually taking the responsibility of evangelizing. And so together, if we're doing it as a church and you're doing it collectively as individuals of the church, we're going to see lost people or people who have never experienced the hope of Jesus Christ come to faith in Jesus. That's our entire goal. It's never been our goal to grow our church from proselytizing. What that means is that from getting church members from other churches, that's not our goal. We don't want to just swap kingdom people. We want to see life change take place. That's what's going to inspire us. When we see people whose lives are a mess come to Christ and let God work and rebuild their life, that's what it's all about. And so we need to be able to bring this message to where people are who don't know Jesus Christ. And this week I was excited because we had an opportunity, really a fantastic opportunity through one of our local secular radio stations, giving us an incredible deal on some programming that we're going to be able to be on the radio here from about October all the way through the end of the year around Christmas time, allowing us to be on the radio, in the secular radio station, allowing us to be able to sprinkle some truth on the radio. Hopefully that truth will capture the attention of those that don't know Jesus Christ, and then we'll allow them to find us through online mechanisms or visit with us in town. And so, man, I'm excited about that. These are just some of the things we're looking to do. And so we'll tell you when you can begin listening and looking for that. But it's my prayer that people who don't know Jesus Christ will find themselves laying awake at night pondering the truth that we share with them on the radio, staring up at the ceiling fan, asking God, is this really true? And then they would come to discover Christ by checking out a service or watching online. So really, really big deal. So thank you for participating in this campaign. It's important. In addition to that, I just want to say, just to be thankful, be reminded to pray for my family this week. Tomorrow is a big day for Jana and I, especially for her as she's there in the doctor's office alone. I'll be on speakerphone, but we have to make some pretty big decisions regarding her cancer treatment. And so that time is now. And so we're just kind of, anxious, I would say, as we want to make the right decision for her and for her health. And as her first round is wrapping up and we have to decide on what's going to be her next course of treatment, given her side effects and things she's dealing with. And so just pray for her. It's definitely definitely heavy on my heart today as we go into the weekend. But so I got to change topics, otherwise I'll get emotional. So, but hopefully you have one of these prayer journals. In the lobby, there's a stack of them every week. We want them to be available. And what they are is your place to write notes from the sermon. You want to write right inside this booklet sermon notes. And so we're not passing out worship folders and those things anymore. We don't have message guides. This is the place that you can document what God's teaching you each and every Sunday. So make sure you grab one. They're free of charge. If you lost one, come see us. Just give us a few bucks to pay for it, to cover the one you lost. But if you're online and you want one of these, send an email to hello@thenpc.org and arrange a time to come pick it up, and we'll give you one for everyone in your family. We want you to have the tools to be able to document what God has been teaching you. So if you have your journal with you today, I want you to pull it out, and I'm going to give you something I want you to write in here this morning as we start. So go ahead and date that and get ready to write a very important bullet point that I think that you're going to want to remember from a long time to come. And are you ready for it? You ready? Shake your hands. Yes, we're ready to write it down? Okay. All right. Write this down. Pastor Steve is a grill master. Just right there, September 20th, 2020, sermon notes, Pastor Steve. Is prove it. Well, I'm getting ready to prove it. Actually, what I'm going to tell you is a little story, and I promise there's a point to this story, so just indulge me just for a moment. But it's a story how I became a green egg ceramic grill evangelist. What I mean evangelist is I'm sold out on this thing, and then I will tell anyone and their mother about this particular grill. But it didn't start off that way. I was a gas grill guy. And so, gas grill was, I loved it. I would go spend good money, and then every 2 years or so when it would rust out, I'd buy another one instead of just buying the replacement parts. I'd convince my wife, I got to get another grill, you know, and I would go out and buy the brand new grill for the purpose of grilling. I love to come home at the end of the busy day and hit the grill. And so what's great about a gas grill is that it's just made you fire the thing up and you're cooking away. And I've heard stories about people with their, you know, their charcoal grills and things like that. And I just thought, I don't want to deal with a mess and so on and so forth. And I'd much rather just get out there and start cooking. And I have my list of reasons why I love to cook this way. And for the most part, the gas grill never let me down, except for those birthdays where I forgot to check the gas propane. We had like 35 people over. I'm responsible to cook. And then it did, you know. And then my wife says, I thought you were supposed to check that before the party. And I'm like, I know I was supposed to check it before the party, but I didn't check it before the party. She goes, well, now you have to go to Walmart and get another tent. I know I got to do that. And so that's how the party goes. So that's happened to me probably 4, 5, 15 times. I don't know. But too many times and probably to remember. But my brother-in-law, his name's Brett, by the way. Brett is one of those green egg snobs. The green egg grill snobs, you know who they are. They always talk about green egg. I cook that, blah, 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 blah. You know, and he's always telling you stories. And so every time I get together with him, we go to his house for dinner. And don't get me wrong, my brother-in-law Brett, he's a grill master too. Because it takes a ninja to know another ninja. And so I get it. It's just a different way of cooking. But he can figure out a way to like be able to do it. You know. And so every time I was with Brett, he's like telling me, "Oh, dude, you got to get one of these grills." And he's telling me this story, and I've been smoking this for 4 hours. And I'm like, "Yeah, but I could cook for like 15 minutes, you know. And I don't want to smoke for like this many. I have a job, you know. I don't know what you do, but like I don't know how to do this." And so, like, you know, he's telling me stories about his grill, and I'm telling him like why. And so we would have this contest about all the reasons. And I got to admit, the food tastes pretty remarkable on his grill. But I still have my objections, and you know, I just kind of push back. Well, then, a little bit longer after that, my administrative assistant at the time, her name is Andrea Stein, her husband Mike Stein bought a green egg grill, to which all of a sudden he became a green egg grill evangelist and began telling me all about his stuff. Now, Mike Stein is kind of a green egg grill master wannabe, but he's gotten a lot. He's good. I love Mike, and I don't know if I can't quite see all your faces, so he's going to be offended either online at home or in person, but but Mike was the same way, you know, and it was just like talking to my brother-in-law, Brett. And I can begin to think, is there some kind of conspiracy going on? You guys always seem to be saying the same exact things. Look, here's what I'll do. I'll set you boys up on a play date, and you can talk about barbecue all day long with your grill. You can smoke for 16, 27 hours. I don't care what you do. And I have my list of reasons, and one of those reasons was cost. And one of those reasons, you know, really financially was a big thing because those green eggs are so stinking expensive. And so Mike said to me, hey, listen, here's the deal. Every 2 years, you're buying a new grill because it rusts out and that kind of stuff. And so these grills are going to last you 15, 20 years. So multiply, do the math. That's going to be cheaper in the long run for you to change over to a grill. By the way, you don't have to buy a green egg. Home Depot sells a version called the Vision Grill. You can get it at Sam's and all these places. And they're like $300 cheaper than these brand names. And I'm like, okay. And so I went home. And you know what I did? I start Googling ceramic eggs for the first time. Like, I'm going to find me one of these grills. Then I went to my wife and said, I got to buy one of these grills. And so it was June 2014. I remember it's like having a baby. And I'm like, it's supposed to be delivered today by UPS. And the guy came. It was a beautiful moment. And here comes my green egg, you know. And I finally had myself a ceramic grill. And I've become one of those people. And I don't like to talk to total strangers if I'm getting some work done on my car, or I'm in an airplane or airport. I kind of like to be by myself and read a book and that kind of stuff. But look, I will linger around the Home Depot and Lowe's around the grill section just to strike up a conversation with a total stranger about a green egg grill. Oh, you don't want that. You want this one over here. This is a whole lot better. Here's why. Let me tell you the 15 reasons. I know we don't know each other and you don't trust me for anything, but let me just tell you how this thing works. I became a green, and I try, you probably want to see some of my work, and so I'm going to give you a couple of pictures just so you can understand. I'm not lying to you. That's like legit. You can see my prowess, the smoke. It's just real, and you can almost taste it. And so some of you right now, even in this message today, are going to pull out your phone subtly and say, Siri, remind me at 2 o'clock today to Google green egg cookers, you know, or maybe even search and buy one while you're in church. God probably will not honor that, but I'm just saying, don't do it. But I tell you the story, and I explain it to you because not only did I end up buying one of these grills, but three of my closest friends now own one of these grills because I have convinced them to do it because it's so good. Here's my point. Up until that time, the idea of grilling on a green egg cooker held no interest to me. It held no interest in me whatsoever until two people who were very close to me, who did this type of grilling all the time, who believed that this grill was the greatest thing since sliced bread, allowed me to have an experience with this grill, told me about the reasons why it's important, began to close the gap between my objections and the reality of what I would experience. And once I experienced that, I became a believer, and no one had to convince me anymore. And just like the ceramic grill, I feel the same way about joining a small group. You're like, how do you make the leap to a small group from barbecue? Well, if you have a small group, you ought to be barbecuing. I'm just saying that. But in full transparency, I went kicking and screaming to the idea of having to join a small group. When I first became a staff member of a church, our pastor made it a mandatory requirement that all staff members were a part of a small group. And while I understood perception, I understood the political part of that, I understood why it was important for a unified front that we all do this so the church body would understand it. You know what it felt like to me? An add-on. But our pastor kept referring to it as an essential. And I'm like, this is just an add-on. I don't need one more thing in my life. I mean, I work hard enough, long enough. Ministry, by the way, and it impacts your life in all kinds of different ways. Why do I need to add one more thing? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And so many of you maybe have had those same objections, but I have my list of reasons why I didn't want to just do one more thing, one more night. And so I would go kicking and screaming to my first small group, but I had no idea and no interest in what it would hold until I had a couple people who I was close to who said, you got it all wrong. You're looking at it completely wrong. It is not an add-on. It is an essential. And I would learn from very close friends that they would say, here's why it's important to me, and I want to talk about these three things to you this morning. This is what convinced me, and I'm hoping to do the same thing to convince you. Number one, it's in small group that I'm able to unpack or apply those complicated truths that I hear about in church, and how do I apply complicated truths from God's word, things I totally believe about, how do I apply that to my life? Small groups help me do that. In addition to that, small groups are a place that I can grow in my faith because I won't always feel like I'm growing in my faith. But when I hear faith stories of other people, my faith grows. And thirdly, it's in a small group that you make long-lasting, lifelong friends who are there with you to walk you through difficult situations. So that's my goal today is to try to help you understand those different pieces because I believe, write this in your message notes, small groups fill big gaps. That's the first thing I want to talk to you about first. Small groups fill big gaps. Here's what I mean by that. Week after week, you're going to come to church here and you're going to watch church online. And we, for the most part, I would consider ourselves the body of Christ. Many of you are believers. And so as I open God's word and I preach from God's word, you and I already recognize that God's word is the truth. We know that God is real. We know his word is true and that has the power to change our lives. And so as we get here, even if we fully agree or still have some questions and those things, we leave here believing what is being preached because we know it's coming out of God's word. So we listen to sermons week after week, but the challenge is sometimes if you listen long enough, what you're going to hear preached from this platform is going to be truthful in your head and in your heart, but there's going to be a disconnect. And how do I apply this to my life? Because sometimes what you hear preached here sounds so good in this room, but it is so hard to translate in your current situation. Pastor Steve, I don't disagree with anything I heard you say, but you don't understand about my situation at work. You talk about moral integrity, and you talk about ethics, and you talk about all these great things, and I get it, but in my job, no one cares about that. You want me to do the right thing even when no one's looking? Well, that's great, but here's the deal. No one cares about that in my office. They're not handing out the right thing award. Here's Pastor Steve. He did the right thing. Let's give him an award, everybody. No, that doesn't happen in where I work at. It actually seems to work the opposite, that you do whatever you can to get ahead yourself and you take care of yourself first. That's the environment I'm at. How do I apply what I'm hearing to that. Maybe you're in college and you hear stories about purity and preserving yourself for marriage, and we talk about, you know, those pieces, and you're like, yeah, I totally believe that. God's word says it. He'll honor if we can just keep our lives this way. But man, when I'm at my roommate, and he brings his girlfriend home every night, or my roommate, she brings her boyfriend home, and no one seems to really care about these things. Here's the situation. God's word, we know it to be true, but it is incongruent oftentimes with the life that we live in, and so we have to try to apply that. And as your pastor, I have a big responsibility, and I get it. I have a responsibility to somehow apply the truth of God's word to your life, but I don't know everybody's situation. So many times I have to speak in broad generalities to try to connect the dots and sprinkle it into some thoughts, and hopefully through the power of the Holy Spirit, talk to you in your context. But there's going to be a time that, as much as you love what you heard in this room, it's going to be hard for you to make the application to your own life. And that's where I believe small groups make all the difference in the world. Because it's in a small group, when you're spending time with people in your similar stage of life, who are maybe just a little bit further ahead of you in your faith, that you can come back to a small group and say, all right, listen, here's the deal. I'm a dad. Pastor Steve today talked about, you know, parenting and you know, the father's roles within the house. And as much as I sit there with my family and we hear it, we all go, yeah, I mean, Dad, this is great. We all get home and my kids are like, all right, Dad, do something. Like, be that guy that pastor's talking about. You're like, I want to, but I don't know how to do it. You with me? And so here's the deal, is that you and I can go to our small group and imagine being able to find some of those men in your small group and just say, oh, listen, how are you applying this? Because there's going to be someone, chances are, in your group who's figured it out a little bit better than you have, who's walked this road a little bit longer than you have, and have given the opportunity to be able to show you, man, this is how I apply this. And you can learn. Because there's always going to come a time for all of us. And it's as great as it is that you and I are coming to church regularly, we're watching church online, that we're reading our Bibles, and that we're praying regularly, there's going to be a time when God's word becomes difficult to apply to your life. And you're just not going to be able to solve that sitting here and listening at home. You're going to have a group of Christians who are in your similar stage of life, who you can share those things with. And I'm confident that if you do that in a small group, you'll find someone who's just a little bit further ahead than you are, who can give you some cues and some help to be able to connect the dots between biblical information and life application. That's huge. And that's what I want for you. And it just won't happen in here sitting in a row. And how I've experienced it happen is sitting on a couch in a friend's living room and have the opportunity to share what it is that we're learning. That's why we put together Go Deeper, for the purpose of carrying this conversation a little bit further into the house. And I know many small groups, including our own, we don't always get through the whole Go Deeper, because oftentimes there's just one thing that seems to bubble up tonight in our group that we seem to talk about, and everyone goes, man, that was a great night. We didn't have to do a type A thing and get through the entire paper. We just needed to get to those one or two nuggets of a biblical principle today, and how do I connect that biblical principle to my life, man. Small groups are not an add-on. I believe they're 100% essential. And for that reason alone is enough to sell me on small groups, because that's how I've been able to benefit from small groups. But in addition to that, there's another benefit. So the first benefit is this, if you're writing them down, is that small groups help you bridge the gap between biblical information and life application. That's the first thing. And so that, again, you need someone in your life who can be able to help you refine and understand those things. The second thing is this, is that small groups help you strengthen your faith. That you and I are going to grow in our faith when we hear stories of other believers sharing stories about their faith. Did you hear that? Is that when I'm sitting in a room, even if my faith isn't growing, but I feel like I'm kind of stalled or stuck right now in my faith, but I'm coming to small group, and there's someone in maybe the highs and lows, like, how's your week go? What's good? What's bad? How are things going? But maybe in that moment, someone just says, man, this is what I'm dealing with, and this is how I'm praying, and it's bothered me because God seems silent, but man, I was faithful, and I persevered in this prayer, and I just trusted God, then this happened. And we get to see, wow, I mean, God, isn't God awesome? Isn't his timing perfect? And even though, I mean, it looks like he wasn't going to answer, but man, he was just setting up the perfect scenario, and God answered in a glorious way. It's when I hear stories like that, that my faith is strengthened. I heard a story this week from one of our church members who contacted me on the phone to tell me about this campaign. And if you know me well enough, I'm not a guy that, I don't beat the drum asking for money. I just don't think we have to do that. I believe that if we just teach the principles of stewardship, God will honor it. But there are times that God presses on my heart an opportunity to involve us in giving in a campaign like we're doing through Reach. And as much as I'm uncomfortable with that, I get a phone call from this young lady and she says, listen, I have to tell you a story. And she actually tried to call me 3 or 4 times throughout the day because she wanted to tell me this story personally, not just an email or not a voicemail, not a text message. She wanted me to hear the story. She said, listen, I know you were uncomfortable sharing the story about that, but I want you to know that I prayed about what I was supposed to give. And God gave me a number that was bigger than I wanted to give, which I was going to have to take out of savings. And I was a little uncomfortable about that. And so I'm like, okay, God, what am I supposed to do? And so, man, God made a way. She made a decision to go ahead and give that money. And then God made a way and provided for her in such a way that not only could she give, but her savings account would increase because she made that decision. She said, I want you to know, I would have never been able to experience God's faithfulness had you not given me this opportunity to give in this way. And I'm telling you that, and I won't tell you your name because I don't want to rob the blessing that God's doing in her life, but I just want you to say, my faith grew. I want you to understand that, is that as I heard her story and testimony of faith, it emboldened my faith to hear that. That's a small scale. There's other times also that I remember sitting in small group with Jason and Jill Gamez. As Jill was diagnosed with cancer, this was long before Jana ever being diagnosed with cancer, and watching their faith as they walked through that, not realizing that I would be learning things there that we would be applying to our lives now. When we hear stories of other people, other people's faith stories, our faith will grow. That's the bottom line. God is amazing how he does that. His, you know, strengthens and grows our faith through those things. And I want to share with you a story from God's word. It's in Romans chapter 1, where Paul, I believe, hits this like out of the park. And I want to open God's word together and talk specifically about that. So if you have your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 1. We'll read about 4 or 5 verses together, starting in verse 8. So go ahead and open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 8 together. Now, what's happening in Rome, you'll need to know this, about 20 years after Jesus had resurrected, there began to be this church developing in Rome. The Church of Rome, and Paul's writing a letter to the Church of Rome, but there's something unique about the Church of Rome that I think is so worth studying and understanding the history of, that the Church of Rome gets traction and begins growing rapidly amidst an incredible amount of persecution. King Nero was the king at the time. And Nero, you can just do any research on Nero, he was one of the biggest persecutors of the Christian movement that we've known even to date. He was a really bad dude, and he did everything he could to try to stamp Christianity out. And Paul understood that because Paul, remember, he was the great persecutor of the church right after Jesus had been resurrected. And we know that Paul was gloriously changed by Christ, and on the road to Damascus, God just like did a radical thing in his life. And so Paul is super intrigued about the Church of Rome because everywhere that Paul goes, Paul would say all around the world, and you'll hear in just a moment, Paul's going to say, everywhere I go, I just continue to hear about the Church of Rome, the Church of Rome, the Church of Rome, their faith in the Church of Rome. I mean, how did they even hear? How were they able to do that? How do they push through the persecution? Because I know it's a lot worse than anything I've ever given, but yet the church continues to grow. And so here's what it says in verse 8. This is Paul talking to the Church of Rome, writing a letter. He says, let me first say, I thank God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because you're what? Because of what? Your faith in him. I thank God when I hear about your faith in him. It's because it's being talked about all over the world. Everywhere I go, the word of your church, the Church of Rome, it's spreading like wildfire, your faith. And I can't wait to talk to you. Paul actually wants to go see them. Look at what he says in verse 9. God only knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news of his son. And here it is, verse 10. One of the things I always pray for, this is like part of Paul's every prayer that he prays. One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. I just want to be with you. I just want to experience what it is you're experiencing. Now, pay attention. Here it is. This is huge. This is what I think it really connects to, the fact that our strength strengthens, our faith grows and gets stronger when we hear each other's stories. And Paul's going, I just want to spend some time with you. Here's why. And he says something that's kind of confusing at first, and then he kind of clarifies the statement. He says this, for I long to visit you so that I can bring you some spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord. Well, maybe that's confusing. Let me say it again a different way. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your what? In your faith. I want to tell you a faith story. I want to encourage you in your faith. But I also want to be encouraged by yours. Look, I want to get together with you. I want to sit down with you because I was the chief persecutor of the church. I know what it's like to be on the other side of the table. I know what it's like about the Nero that you guys are facing. And I want to tell you how God radically changed me. And how God's used me in a mighty powerful way. And although the people that I used to persecute, now the people that I love, it's amazing to see what's happening. He wants to tell them all those stories. I want to tell you every one of these stories regarding my faith. But then I want to sit down with you and say, now, okay, tell me yours. How did you hear about Jesus? Who was it within this circle that had the faith to stand up against all of the gods of the Romans to be able to say, no, I'm only going to choose Jesus Christ? And how was it described to me the day that many of you set down your idols and gods and began to pursue him? Who was it that maybe died for the faith? Who was it that went before you? I want to know everything. Because what Paul's saying is that we are mutually, some of your Bibles actually say it this way, we can mutually strengthen each other with our faith. That's what happens in a small group. And Paul explains it here from a church perspective. And that's what's going to happen inside our church. Is that there is some incredible faith story. And as your pastor and friend, I know many of your stories, but I wonder if your story has ever been heard by other people that you're sitting next to in the row. But right now, it wouldn't be the appropriate time, would it, to turn around to the person next to you and go, hey, want to hear a story? It just isn't going to happen in a row. It has to happen in an environment, in a circle, on a couch, in a living room, or in a park, wherever your small group meets, and to be able to share a story about what God's done in your life. Dude, whenever I hear faith stories from other people, my faith grows. And if I could sit down with many of you and you're going through difficult seasons and you're saying, I just don't feel like I'm growing in my faith right now, one of the things I would investigate after I would make sure that you're attending church, you're reading your Bible, you're praying, because those are some, the spiritual disciplines are right. We need to have those in our lives. But most importantly, I'd say to you, what are you doing to strengthen your faith? Where are you hearing other faith stories? Are you inserted into a community, a group of people who you can share your faith stories and your confusions and also hear faith stories and hear solutions? Do you have a group of people that you can sit down and say, yeah, Pastor Steve talked about this, but how do I apply this to my life? Do you have a group of people that you can do that with? Is there a group of people that you can sit down with and say, listen, I'm really struggling in this area of my life. Has anyone ever had to deal with a circumstance like a job loss? Has anyone had to deal with a circumstance like a child that no matter what you seem to do, always seems to go back to that one thing, that addiction in their life that is bringing their life down, and I'm praying and I don't know what to do anymore because I feel like I'm giving up hope on my kid and I don't want to give up hope on my child. So is there anyone in the room who's been through something like this? There are story upon stories. There are marriages that have been broken. There's a chains of addiction that have been broken. Marriages that have been restored and addictions that have been broken. There's all kinds of incredible stories that need to be told. And you're not going to be able to do that serving in a serve team, working in a kids ministry, sitting in a row with each other. We have to get sometimes in row, in circles. We need to be in somebody's home to be able to do that. That's why I think it's essential. It's not an add-on. I know it feels difficult sometimes to reprioritize our life and our day in order to make it fit. But it is not an add-on. It is essential because together you're mutually encouraged, you're mutually strengthened, and you're able to connect the dots between God's word and your real life. Jana and I have been in small groups now for about 15 years. When North Point first began, we realized the importance of that community, and we began to establish small groups. But we were small, and so we had to go start a group and kind of walk alongside that group till it got going, and then we go start another group. And it was a challenging time because, man, we fell in love with every group. We thought, how is it possible that we're going to find another group that compares to the group that we have just left? But somehow or another, God always seems to place us with a community of people who we build lifelong friends with. It's in small groups that I first met Josh Bradley, Pastor Josh, and his wife, Deanna. It's the first place that I met and hung out with Mike DeLay from the band and his wife Sylvia, who became lifelong friends. The first time that I ever really got to hear Pastor Corey's craziness and tomfoolery and extensive vocabulary was in a small group, sitting next to his wife Amy. Got to hang out with Ken and Judy Sherman and got to taste for the very first time elk meat, elk jerky, and cheese curds. Some of you like cheese curds. I never knew that. I got to sit with Ryan and Kimmy Carter, and they became lifelong friends. And the Meekums, and the Williams, and the Doyles, and the Osmondsons, and the Stevensons, and the Bakers, and just so many. And I'm afraid even mentioning names that I'm going to leave some of my closest friends out of the equation, because I've sat with you, and we've got to know, and we got to hear your stories. I've walked with many of you in our group through people adopting children, some who have lost children, some that have been hurt, and some that have been wrongfully fired, others that have started new businesses, others who have had marriages that were on the rocks that God has restored, children who've kind of strayed away that God has returned. Some, those stories are still to be written. I remember sitting with Mike and Stephanie Clark as they were contemplating starting Advocates of Love in the Dominican Republic. And man, the weight of that ministry and the weight of the burden that was upon his heart as we prayed for him through that stuff. It's where my son, Seth, met his beautiful girlfriend, Reese. It's where Katie Bujica and Sean Carr would meet and now be engaged to be married, meeting each other in a Rooted small group. You see, not only is it beneficial for you to be in a small group, because sometimes biblical information and life application are hard to bridge, and not only is that sometimes in your life your faith seems to stall and we can be strengthened in our faith when we hear faith stories of others, but it's also a place that you make lifelong friends and relationships. And how important is that to my family right now? As we're walking through some of the hardest days of our lives going through this cancer stuff. But yet it's those friendships who know us so well, so intimately well from all the small groups throughout the years, and yourself included, many of you that we don't know that personally, who continue to pray for us, bring us meals, send us phone calls, timely text messages, who just know by looking at my countenance to go, he's not doing well today, she's not doing well today. Man, they just lift me up. I don't know where I'd be without a community of believers. And I would have missed it if I would have just left it as this is an add-on that I don't need. It has proven to be an essential for me and my family. And I guess that's my point, is that as much as I'm a green egg grill enthusiast, how much more valuable is the reality of a small group? And so I want to be a champion to do my best to sell you on the idea that this is not an add-on. It is an essential. But you won't know it unless you try it. And you won't know it until you experience it. And there's some of you who have said, I've been there, Pastor. I've been to a small group, and it's just not exactly what you said it was going to be. It felt like a burden, and it felt like an add-on. It didn't really make a connection with the people. And I don't think I want to do that again. Been there, done that, not doing that again. Well, to that, I think I'd say this, that have you ever gotten a bad haircut? And do you still go get haircuts today? Just because you had a bad experience doesn't mean you just quit doing something. We all eat out at restaurants and we have bad experiences, but yet we still return to go out to eat. What if, and maybe you just got in a group that just didn't quite connect with your stage of life and phase of life? It's okay. It's a bit of a roll the dice, quite frankly, when you start a group by just kind of signing up and let's see. But I tell you what, even in that recipe, my wife and I have met lifelong friends. But if you got yourself in a group that you don't think was perfect fit, or maybe you're currently in a group right now that's like, you know what, I like it, but I'm not experiencing all that. Man, try another group. It's not going to hurt their feelings. Go visit somewhere else. I just want to encourage you as a group, always make room for that next family who wants to come in. Because quite frankly, I want them to know you as well. Because there's going to be people out there who are trying to connect the dots, especially as we bring more and more lost people to our church through radio and through other mechanisms to be able to help them find the Lord, they're going to have a lot of questions. And for you, they're going to be easy questions because, man, they're rudimentary in your faith. These are things you solved years and years ago. But imagine someone sitting down for the very first time and just trying to unpack and say, I'm having a hard time believing Jesus is God's son. I mean, I love what I'm hearing, but I'm not trying to put my arms around, he like died for my sins. What do you mean? And man, you guys, it's just like a softball question. We're like, this is the easiest answer of all times. He loves you no matter what you've done. And you can just kind of walk him through faith. Imagine stories like that. I remember we had a young couple in our small group years ago. The couple didn't even own Bibles. And they said, we're such a mess. And man, they just began to share testimonies about how many were like, man, they are a mess. It really was a mess. And then God's radically changed them. And even today, they're in great leadership within our church. There's incredible stories out there. And I need them to know incredible people like you who have incredible faith stories and the ability to help them bridge the gap between biblical information and life application. And along the way, you'll be able to help them in a crisis, walk alongside them through difficult storms, celebrate great life accomplishments. I want you to have that. But it's up to you to take that next step. Because here's the thing. Eventually, in your Christian walk, you are going to come a place where you're going to plateau in your faith in terms of how you're growing and what you're understanding. And you need someone to come alongside you to help you stir the pot and recognize where God's at work when you don't see him and encourage you to hold on when you feel like you've prayed as long as you can. And in your small group, you're going to find people to do that. So whether you're watching at home, which I'm grateful that we have this mechanism, it can't just be that only. So whether we're in the row here or on a couch in your house or watching at your desk at work, eventually there's going to come a time where you're going to need to bridge the gap between what you're hearing in your life, between your faith and what you're experiencing and your fear. In addition to that, you're going to crave those relationships that I'm talking about today. I want you to experience that. Not because it's small group Sunday and we're trying to get people to sign up. It's so much bigger than that. I want you to experience this because I believe it has the power to change your life. In addition to that, make sure you get a ceramic grill because that's going to be pretty awesome too. Especially if you're a host of a small group and you really want to impress the people that are in your small group, go buy one of those things, invite everybody over. Your small group will grow, I promise you. Can I pray for you? And then we'll close our service out today. Father, thank you for the chance to be able to open your word. Thank you for the lesson that Paul taught us. He says that we're going to be mutually strengthened. It's mutually beneficial that when I share my stories of faith and I hear your stories of faith, how I'm going to grow in my faith. That's what my desire is for our church, that each one of us would continue to grow in our relationship with you, that we would grow in our knowledge of you by learning how to apply your word to our life, grow in our faith in you, Lord, even in the places where we can't see and don't know, by leaning on the faith stories of others and having a community of believers to pick us up when we start to go astray or face a season of life that is just too hard to face alone. That's my sincere prayer. And I pray, God, today I've done a good job communicating this message so that be one, two, three, a dozen families, Lord, today that'll say, yeah, let's give it a shot. I think he's right. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. Deanna's going to come share with you a couple more things.
I believe the most profound thing I can say after that is ditto. Basically what he said. No, I really believe that each of us has a next step to take. All healthy things grow, and many of you in this room, your next step is small groups for all of the reasons that Pastor Steve just explained. And so we have both grow groups and connect groups. Our grow groups are our Bible studies and accountability groups, and our connect groups are a chance to live life together with people. And that's where, side by side, you begin to form those relationships that he was talking about, where you're just getting together to do a craft or to write care cards or go fishing, but that's the person you reach out to when you're struggling. That's the person that while you're doing that activity, you say, hey, what'd you think about that sermon on Sunday? And you begin to build those relationships through spiritual conversations. So if you are interested in our small groups, you can go and on the MyNPC app and you can click small groups and it'll lead you to a directory where you can search all the different groups. If you're here in the room on your way out at the next steps table, you can get a list of all the groups and the opportunity to sign up, or you can sign up online through the MyNPC app. Also on the MyNPC app has a little button called Next Steps. And that might be any number of next steps that you might have. And again, the Next Steps tent is a great resource. You might have next steps to take in your surrender in your relationship with God, or wanting to serve, or wanting to be baptized, or whatever your next step might be. There's always a next step that we can take as we continue to grow in our faith. Maybe your next step is to surrender your life to Christ. Maybe as you're sitting in this room, you're like, that all sounded good, but I don't even know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. I would encourage you, do not leave this room before finding one of our leaders or texting the word surrender to 97000, and we can help you walk through that process. And we can, maybe you're a new Christian and you're like, I'm not really sure what to do with all this. We will give you some tools and strategies to help you as you begin that journey with God. Because the point of surrender is not the end, but it's the beginning of a lifetime of surrender and a lifetime of a journey with Jesus.